I've seen that guy sob after losses. During games, I've seen him sob.
Who knew he was so tortured?
And they just kept losing, and it kept eating at him and eating at him. And he couldn't take any more disappointment.
Oh, my God.
The Jets killed Carl.
From The Athletic, I'm Jeff Schwartz. Players voiced their concerns on a critical CBA vote this weekend. Free agency is right around the corner, and Larry David and Gabe Goodwin have a lot in common. It's Tuesday, March 10th, and this is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. Welcome in. Hope you guys had a great week. Hope everyone's washing their hands thoroughly, staying safe out there. Gabe, before we get going, I want to let everyone know there might be some humming noise in the background. I'm at my house right now. We're recording this on Tuesday, obviously. There's work being done at the house. Got a pool going in. And there's just bobcats and excavators going below my window right now. It should be a slight hum, maybe. But if we just talk enough or we're loud enough, maybe no one will hear us.
Yeah.
No one will hear that, I should say.
I noticed the pictures of the pool or the hole yes. where the pool will be. And it's a pretty, pretty, pretty big pool there, Jeff.
It's getting smaller as they start putting in like the rebar. And they're gonna put the concrete in. They're going to shoot it maybe Thursday. So it's getting a little bit smaller. But yeah, it started out pretty large. We're excited about it. We thought about this for a while now. We agreed to basically do this in January, and now starting yesterday, we almost started building the pool in the middle of a recession. But I think we'll be okay. We're excited for this. My kids are pumped. We're at the age now where, you know, 5 and 3, they'll be 4 and 6 this summer. They'll be able to use the pool every day.
Yeah, it is strange timing, but pools are not impulse buys, so I assume you set the money aside and plan for this for a while. It just means that you'll have to invite me and Zuri down for a little pool party sometime next summer.
You guys are welcome. We can record a podcast from the tanning ledge in the pool.
How okay. about that? Yeah, that sounds like, yeah. I mean, listen, remember, Jeff, we live in Los Angeles, so that's not as big of a deal. Maybe promise us some pulled pork barbecue or something special
to
the area.
You don't want pulled pork. I'll get you something else.
All right. All right. You're in charge.
Are you a pulled pork fan? No, it's not my thing.
Yeah, I am a big pulled pork fan. Why wouldn't I?
It's like the worst of the variations of barbecue.
But you live in North Carolina. How do you have this take?
I don't like it. I don't like North Carolina barbecue.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
We've been over this, well, on Twitter many times. I'm Kansas City barbecue, number one.
Yeah.
I like probably Texas, you know, second.
Okay.
I mean, St. Louis and Kansas City are close. They're just different styles of, like, flavor on the meat. And then North Carolina, like, I'm not vinegar. I don't like vinegar based barbecue yeah. sauce, which is more Eastern North Carolina anyways. I don't like pulled pork. And so that kind of North
yeah,
Carolina's out for
that
me.
Wipes them out. Yes. Yeah, so it sounds like you're a beef based guy. You like a dry rub.
I love a beef rib.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Kansas who doesn't? City. That's
no,
where
some people
you go
don't. It's hard to get them. Like a big crown beef prime rib from Jack Stack. If they want to sponsor this podcast, send me some ribs. I'm all for it.
Yeah, listen, he's got a pool to pay for, and the more sponsorships we can find, the better. Well, we will fight through the bobcat sounds in the background. They're not too distracting. Let me start with something that let me try to get through this, okay? Because I can see you jumping in and yelling at me before. Let me get through it, okay? We've spent a lot of time this offseason talking about your boy Tom Brady, all right? And I know that you're probably tired of it. You feel like, you know, in all this take-making, we've lost sight of some of the more important, lesser-name guys out there that are also entering free agency. And I know you're eager to talk about those guys, but just hold on, okay? Because Tom Brady is the biggest story maybe ever in free agency this offseason. The reason that so many shows and so many people are firing off takes about him is because he's the most interesting person in the league. And what he does and what money he gets and where he ends up dictate everything for everyone else. So this is your show. You can dismiss Tom Brady all you want and tell me about, like, Russell Okung or some whoever interior lineman that you want to talk about. But Tom Brady is the first domino in this free agency conversation. Now, we know it's been pushed a few days, you know, to when we're going to find some of this stuff out because of the CBA. We'll get to that. But Tom Brady is the straw that stirs the drink, much as I hate saying it.
Well, he does. And when we talked about the subject for the show, I said, look, we've talked so much about Tom Brady. There's so much overkill. My position on Tom Brady is very clear. I think it goes back to New England. And he is a domino. If he goes somewhere else, then everyone's afraid to see changes. If he goes to New England, obviously, I mean, people assume that around the league, then, you know, their fantasy plans change. Or obviously, look at the Tennessee Titans, for example. They might get Tom Brady, might get Ryan Tannehill. Two different options two different players, two different ways to build your roster. Look at the Chargers, who are setting themselves up, and they've done a good job of putting together pieces via, you know, training for offensive lineman Trey Turner, who's better than their left tackle. They can draft a left tackle at seven now. They can bring Tom Brady in. They have a good defense. They have good weapons around them. They're setting up for Tom Brady as well. Obviously, their fortunes change on what they do in the draft. If they don't get Tom Brady, then they have to probably draft a quarterback. So a lot of teams, what they do depends on where Tom Brady goes. But I do not think Tom Brady leaves. And so I'm kind of over it right now. I think Tom Brady is playing everybody. He's using this opportunity to continue to build his profile more than just being Super Bowl winning quarterback. He now announced that he has a production company that is you know, going to be maybe his one of his next ventures after retirement. And I think he's playing all of us. I think he loves the attention. He knows that this is about him. And Gabe, attention in free agency is different than attention winning a Super Bowl, right? Like a Super Bowl, you talk about the whole team. You talk about Bill Belichick. You talk about Robert Kraft. Talk about the Patriots' allure. You talk about do your job, right? Yes, of course. You talk about Tom Brady. But then Julian Edelman won the MVP of their last Super Bowl. Right now, we're just talking about Tom Brady. I think he absolutely loves this.
Yeah, it goes a little bit against what the mystique has been built up about Tom Brady, because what you said, like, for the longest time, we've been told that he's like a team first guy. You know, he's an important piece, but he's just a piece of the puzzle over there in New England. Like, it's not about him. And we're starting to see this offseason glimmers of, yeah, no, it is about him. At least in this stage in his career, it's about him. And he does love this spotlight. So let's just say then that we can put him aside and agree that he's super important to the whole process. But who are some of the other players maybe that, you know, we're trying to be a smarter show than average?
Yeah.
Who are some of the players that are being overlooked by those morning shows that are obsessed with Brady?
And look, I understand why we're talking about Brady. I understand why we're talking about Dak Prescott, who supposedly will have a deal maybe soon. But then there are other free agents this year that could really change the fortunes of teams. And look, you have to look at the important positions, the one that are most valued in the NFL. So Byron Jones, who's a defensive back for Dallas Cowboys, outstanding defensive back. He's young. The Cowboys, ridiculously, paid, you know, a running back before they paid Byron Jones or Amari Cooper or Dak Prescott. So Byron Jones is probably going to walk. He will be a huge addition to any team that's just looking to add a cover corner to their defense.
That seems like every team would want that.
Right. He's going to make a lot of money this year. Good for him. Cowboys are idiots for letting him walk, but they're going to let him walk. Look at edge rushers, right? Shaq Barrett has the greatest year of his career last year. I feel like Tampa, though, might still slap that franchise tag on him at some point. I know the deadline's coming up soon for you know, having to do that because he might, you know, the thing about a guy like that who just came on strong right now is that you don't know if you can count the production moving forward, right? Is it a one-hit wonder? Is it a guy that just finally found the right situation for him? What if he goes somewhere else? Can he have the production? So I think the Bucks will end up franchise tagging him eventually. So he might be off the market. Clowney with Seattle, pass rusher. You can't have enough pass rushers on your team. And I think him anywhere will be an addition. We saw what he did against San Francisco this year. He dominated that one game that was in San Francisco. Like, he had like 11 tackles, and multiple hits and hurries. Unbelievable. To me, that is a huge, would be a huge addition to anyone's team. And then there's other guys, obviously, there's offensive linemen. There's, I think, the tight ends. Tyler Eifert, if he can stay healthy, could be important. Hunter Henry for the Chargers, if he's allowed to eventually leave. Obviously, you know, again, these guys, a lot of these guys could get the franchise tag because that's still an option. I think people are waiting to see how the CBA plays out before they decide to franchise tag. Everything's been moved back now. The tag was supposed to be applied. The deadline, I think, was supposed to be earlier last week. Now it's like Saturday. So some of these guys will be tagged. But I think those guys right there, high value positions that can have impacts right away.
All right. Let me just clean that up a little bit. I think the vote has been on the CBA is due for this Thursday. There's already been some changes to that.
I think it's now, it's this Thursday? I think it's not.
Let's clear this up a little bit. So the CBA vote was meant to be Thursday. Now it's moved, we believe, to Saturday.
Yes.
And in doing that, they've decided that the franchise tag deadline will now be Monday in order for, like you said, for the CBA to get resolved before anyone has to do the franchise tag, which then, of course, trickles into a whole bunch of other things. All boring stuff. None of it makes us much smarter about who's playing on the field. Yeah. Now let's circle back, because I said I would move away from Tom Brady for a second, except I have to just play you one piece of sound. Again, the take makers are out there. They want to talk about Tom Brady, not Byron Jones, good as Byron might be. This is from an NFL legend, okay? This is a guy whose football acumen cannot be questioned. I want to play this for you. I want your reaction on the back end.
Tom Brady's going to be 43 years old. I've heard today that 8 teams are interested in him. If that's true, their 6 GMs don't know what they're doing. Because the only team should be interested in Brady would be teams that are like one player away from going to the Super Bowl, trying to win it next year before so many of their players go to free agency. And to me, you got 2 teams maybe. You got the 49ers, I've heard. I don't know. There's no way they're going to pay both Garoppolo and Brady over $30 million. Well, maybe they'll take Brady and trade Garoppolo back to New England. That would be interesting.
Okay, thoughts on that?
Well, what he said was fairly accurate, right? I mean, Tom Brady, I think himself, is not going to go anywhere that you can't win anyways, right? So it kind of eliminates some of these teams. And if you look at the teams, let's say outside of New England, right? Because obviously we talked enough about New England. Which places make sense for him to go? The Niners obviously do, but Jimmy Garoppolo is there. So they're going to have some sort of sign and trade where they sign Tom Brady probably, and then signs Tom Brady, and they trade Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And that would destroy the internet. That would be unbelievable. It'd be like Belichick, a master plan to get rid of Brady, bring back his guy. That's a possibility. I think on the scale of possibilities, that's low, but Tom Brady would be excellent to have to scale. With that offensive line, that run game, the weapons there, the head coach, it's the only other coach, I think, that Tom Brady would respect right away as Kyle Shanahan, because Bill Belichick respects Kyle Shanahan. The defense as well is outstanding there. That makes sense just from a fit. Again, I don't know if it makes sense in actual terms of a deal happening. And then the Titans, I think, make second sense, or number one, depending on how you look at with actual options in free agency. They have a coach that Brady knows, who's friends with. They play kind of above their skis last year. Good offensive line. You may or may not bring back Derrick Henry, but the weapons are there on offense, right? You have Brown. You have tight ends as well. Like, you have weapons on offense to help you defensively. Got to get a little faster at certain positions, but you have a good core of guys in Tennessee. And then I think third might be the Chargers. I know it's odd to think about them this way, and they're the 12th favorite team in Los Angeles. That's why I don't think he goes there, by the way. But you have an improved offensive line with the trade. You could draft someone, an impact player early in the draft, specifically probably left tackle. You have Keenan Allen and you have Williams. You bring back Hunter Henry. You have Eckler. You have the pass rushers on defense. You have Derwin James. You have speed at linebacker. That actually makes sense. But the problem is you're in Pat Mahomes' division. I don't know if Tom Brady wants to be in a division that he can't control like he probably can do in Tennessee, or San Francisco is not as easy, but it's not the AFC East if he goes out west.
Yeah, interesting. So what I'm hearing is you're with OJ.
That was OJ. Interesting.
You and OJ are aligned.
OJ. Yeah. I don't follow him on Twitter. I think it's just creepy for people to do.
It's very creepy, but that was his take. I thought maybe the golf ball in the background would have been a little bit of a hint for you. That was his take. I thought that's actually more reasoned out than most of the crazy things that he says on Twitter. And I really did want to throw it at you, because we've joked about, well, why not just send Tom has always wanted to play, in San Francisco, or supposedly he has, because he's a Bay Area guy. And we know Jimmy G and Bill Belichick were meant to be together. You know, the incentives might align here. I know it would take a lot of doing and a lot of paperwork, and who would send what with each player. It's complicated, but I think OJ might have been onto something with that one. All right, let's move it along. The CBA, now take a big gulp of coffee, everyone, for this. This always gets confusing. Jeff's going to keep it very simple. I'll fill in some facts as I need to. Jeff, why don't you just rip on what you think the latest news is, and I'll give some facts.
Okay, so the latest news is this. Today's Tuesday, obviously. There's an NFLPA vote today for president, okay? The outgoing president, Eric Winston's out today. It's just his time is up. There's a vote. Now, there's two factions for the vote. There's one side that's kind of anti doing this deal, right? They voted no on the proposal. And then there's a couple candidates, one we don't know, but another one who voted yes. So obviously, I think what we can tell where the players are headed with this vote based off of who they elect as president today. Because of this time to elect a president, also players have requested more time to review a 455-page CBA. The time has been pushed back to Saturday now to finally vote, or really to tally all the votes. There's over 1,000 votes reportedly already in. Some players want to change the vote. The NFLPA said no. There's just a lot of periphery stuff happening around this CBA, right? The NFL owners have done a great job of using their media arm, which I don't blame them, to kind of wield influence via social media on the process, influence players. And there's a lot of moving parts here, Gabe.
So let me drill into one part of that I wanted to tee you up on, because I think this is where fans like me, who are, you know, paying attention to a lot of other stuff in the news right now, maybe missing some stuff. So help us understand it, this part of it. We're now hearing that some of the players, and there are, you know, a couple thousand players out there, some of the players, upon further consideration, now don't like this idea of a 17-game season with the more benefits and more money, right? Now some of them are saying, wait, hold on, we want to rethink our vote. And meanwhile, more star players are entrenched as being opposed to the 17-game idea, right? So what I'm starting to see is we kind of have two factions, and you hinted at it, two factions within the players. There's the guys we've all heard of, the guys who come up on all the shows, who are star players, they make Pro Bowls, they have huge contracts. And then there's the majority of players who just round out rosters and work hard, and a lot of us haven't heard of many of them. They don't seem to be aligned, and the owners seem to be intentionally driving a wedge and throwing things like, maybe we'll do an 18-game season if you guys don't sign this deal. Maybe we'll wait another year and do that. Like, it seems like the owners are sort of intentionally dividing star players from everyday players. And I want to remember, everyday players are very wealthy people. They are not like us. They do not have jobs like the rest of us. They get paid plenty. Yeah. Let's just put that out there. But why don't you see a little bit of a concern here when star players like Aaron Rodgers are being separated from maybe the guys who block for Aaron Rodgers? Isn't that weird?
Well, I don't see. Let me put it this way. I think when this is all done, there's no hard feelings with the players. Like, I think once this is done, everyone will just go back and go back to normal, right? But the way this is set up is, and this is the, I'll go back a little bit. The problem that I see developing, and I'll answer your question when I get done with this. The problem that I see developing is that we have players that aren't part of the process through the last 10 years, right? They go to their PA meetings every year. They collect their Madden check. We get our royalty check at the PA meetings. They don't pay attention. They don't engage their reps. And then when it comes to now, for 9.5 years, they barely paid attention. Comes to now, they go on Twitter. They make videos. They read bullet points. They have their attorneys present whatever that was yesterday on Twitter. And they all voice their concerns, which is fine. You're allowed to have concerns. I'm not saying you shouldn't. They voice their concerns on social media. And social media is not our friend right now. We get nothing done bickering on social media over the CBA. Fine. You want to say why you're voting yes and no? I guess go ahead and do it. I'd rather you don't. But there's avenues to go ahead and voice your concerns. There's an NFLPA meeting happening in Florida right now. Plenty of players are there. But there's players that are not there. And there's players that are not there that have been the loudest on social media about not wanting to do this deal. Show up and be part of the process. And that's what's dividing us right now, is we have players that we have an executive committee and NFLPA reps who have worked hard at this job. I don't think the CBA is perfect, but I appreciate the work that the committee has done. And I appreciate the time they put in. And they have a tough job to try to get all the players on their team to pay attention to this stuff. And when they don't pay attention, which they don't, and now they come to this point of the year or of the 10-year CBA when it's time to re-up, they pay attention to bullet points on Twitter, to what their buddies say on Twitter, to what players yell on Twitter. And most of those players, by the way, are older players on Twitter. And yes, this CBA does not benefit them. So owners know that if they put into the CBA, which they've done, you know, we want to help out younger players. And by the way, this is something that the NFLPA leadership has wanted. They want to make sure younger players have more money, have more job security. And this is something that, by the way, the NFLPA has told players this, but players don't pay attention. So when it comes up this time of year, they don't know what's been talked about for 11 months because they don't pay attention to the meetings. And so that becomes the problem here. And look, if you disagree with the way this is going, which Russell Okung does, who now has actually declined the nomination for president. Richard Sherman is not against this deal, is against this deal as well. There's players that are against it. You just do it behind closed doors and you talk like players. You call, you text, you do it at the meetings. Doing it in public just shows the owners we're not unified, and they're able to drive a wedge into us by going and telling and saying, you know, the reports, hey, 18 game schedule if you don't agree to the CBA, which may or may not be true. I don't know. But players read it and they freak out. And that's the problem, is we too much time on social media, Gabe, where we should be behind closed doors, airing out our concerns, trying to be as unified as possible. I am not of the expectation that 1,700 players, 1,800 players with all 1,800 opinions are going to be unified. I don't believe it's hard to believe that, right? Everyone has their own little agendas. Some careers are short, some careers are longer. Different guys want to do that. But if you are engaged in the process through the last 10 years, even the last year, you at least know what's happening. You at least know what the NFLPA is asking for. You know what you want. You know what the NFL owners are asking for. And you go behind closed doors and yell at each other and figure it out. Not on social media. It's not helping us to air our grievances on this platform.
Wow. Well, everything you just said could apply to
many things. I understand. Yes.
The biggest topic in America right now, but yeah, we're not the show for that.
Correct.
Okay. Well, then let me ask you a couple follow-up questions and we'll move on to something that involves players playing, which I think is fun for people to hear. You know, we're talking about this wedge between players. I think we may be skipping over why it is that we think there is this wedge. So to clarify, ESPN reports that apparently a few owners no longer even want this deal, that they think if this deal tanks, there's still another year before a deadline, that they could get a more advantageous deal for owners, which would include an 18th game. We have speculated on this show that that is just owners being owners, leaking the thing they want out in the world to apply some pressure to try to scare that mass of players into, we better take this deal now because it's going to be a worse deal in the future. So maybe just explain those points of leverage and the mindset of a player who might think, uh-oh, this is about as good as we're going to do. We didn't get everything, but this is better than what we've got. Let's sign it at risk of having a worse deal a year from now.
Well, the owners know that that's part of the thinking. And quite honestly, the idea that we might not get a better deal would kind of cross my mind as well. Like, yeah. I think there's plenty of parts of this deal that are really good, and they're definitely better than 2011. Now, I disagree with the revenue split, and I think that players worry about things that aren't related to money. Like the owners, all they care about is money. That's what they want. They want to make the most money out of this deal, and we worry about, you know, if there's marijuana testing or less practices. Guys, worry about the money, right? And worry about the revenue split that, you know, that's happening right now, which is at 48%, possibly up to 48.5%, which I don't think is enough to add an extra game, but that's here nor there. And NFL owners have done a good job of throwing these things out in the media. Look, they didn't vote unanimously for the CBA. There's plenty of owners, I've gotten word, that don't like the CBA. They think they're giving up way too much. And actually, probably, I don't know how, you know, I think Jeremy Fowler is probably reporting semi-accurate news. I know that it's been refuted by some people on social media. I think he's probably pretty accurate on what he's saying, that there are owners, it could just be 3, 4, 2, that think, look, I hope this doesn't pass because we're going to go back to the players and we're going to give a worse deal for 18 games and they're going to take it or they're not going to play in 2021. And that's another thing too that I failed to mention earlier is, look, our leverage is sitting out, okay? But it's so hard to imagine NFL players ever doing that. We don't have guaranteed deals right now, to the point of what you said earlier about, you know, the 60-70% of players getting a pay raise. A lot of guys can't afford to sit out an entire season in their prime playing careers. I know, Gabe, this is going to sound, I don't know how it's going to sound, but I know that If you are on a rookie contract, and let's say you were me, you're a seventh round draft pick. It's 2008 now, okay? Mm-hmm. I was going to make, I mean, I could add it up, but like my rookie deal was probably worth somewhere in the range of, it was, if you add it up, you know, for the years, it was probably going to be like, I'm trying to do a quick math now, like $1.2 million, let's say, $1.2 million, $1.3 million, right? And obviously the salaries have risen now. So, let's say it's $2 million for an entire 4-year rookie deal for a seventh round draft pick. It sounds like a lot of money. And it surely is a lot of money. It's life-changing money. But if that's all, if you only have 3 years to earn basically $1 million after taxes, that money goes pretty fast. And so it's hard for players to just say, you know what, I'm going to skip one of my earning years of life in the NFL to sit out when I can make an extra $100,000 now. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does. And you also don't get to choose where you live. And if you get drafted into certain parts of this country, $1 million goes a lot further than other parts of this country.
Correct.
If you have kids or not kids, if you're supporting a family or a neighborhood that goes, I mean, there's a lot there. So,
right. But I mean, $1 million, I mean, look, 3% goes to your agent. Well, it's a little less now sometimes, but you're right. Then you buy your mom a house. You don't even have
to be a jackass. We're not talking about people who go and waste their money. Just
right.
For $2 million pre-tax over 4 years, when a lot of people are counting on you, losing out on any year of that earning capability is foolish business, period.
Correct.
Nobody needs to talk about what they make in their job.
Right. And this is what, and this is what the NFL owners know. And again, I'm more of a realist when it comes to players. Like I understand why the NFL owners feel this way, and they probably have a right to feel that way. When I was in 2011, I should say, when I was going through this, I was prepared for a lockout. I had money saved up. And mind you, I'd been in practice squad my first year and I had only 2 years of active salary money. But I was living modestly, right? I had a modest house, wasn't spending a lot of money. No pool back then. Oh, geez. Yeah. By the way, the first day we had like another cost that was like, you know, just something that wasn't included. That just the first day.
That's how construction works, Jeff. Yeah,
I know.
Guess
what?
They're going to find some soft spot down there at some point. That's going to cost you another bunch of money. So,
well, that was the problem. They found way back in the day, someone dumped boulders and tree stumps at the very back of the backyard. They buried them. They pulled them out of this big hole. Now they're just stuck. We have to pay to get them removed. 20,000 pound stones stuck in our backyard. I guess it's a boulder. It's not really a stone. The money, and NFL owners know that this is a problem that players will occur. That's why they won't sit out. Now, like I said, could I have sat out? Probably. I mean, I didn't have a lot of expenses, didn't have kids, modest house. I didn't have money to really spend on a car yet or anything crazy. But a lot of players can't. A lot of players, unfortunately, to your point, they either waste their money or, to your point, even better, they have to support people and they don't have the money to just withstand a year of not making anything. So NFL owners know this. It's not unfair to discuss this on the player side either.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's important now for those of us as fans to take a deep breath and look at the whole landscape of players and realize that when we're getting agitated, when we're hearing things like a holdout, or when we're hearing that, you know, we aren't going to get what we think we deserve as fans, we do have to remember that there's a big difference between the guys we've heard of, the guys who, you know, I like to talk about on this show, and all those other guys. And Jeff just spelled it out well for you. They all make more money than you listening at home, but it's totally different scales, and we have to understand those different points of view. That's all.
Correct. And this is why I think it does pass in the end, though, is because there's enough players that that will make, you know, significant more money that it will pass. I just want to, one last point before we move on. I know we're a lot of CBA talk. One thing that I think is, again, I think that the players don't quite frame their arguments at times like accurately. You know, people are saying, well, it's an extra $100,000 for players, for younger players, which I get. That's true. But again, we should be less focused, in my opinion, on details like that. And just more focus on the overall revenue split, right? Because,
right,
moving up 1% to add an extra game, in my opinion, is not worth it. And even if we paid veterans more money or rookies more money, it's still just 1% more, no matter how you break it up. And we talk about these things like like the overall pie doesn't matter when that should be our number one focus. The NFL owners, I promise you, are focused on the number, the revenue number of that pie. And we're not as focused on that as we should be, in my opinion. And that is my biggest, I think, gripe with this whole process is we these players, maybe we are, we just don't talk about it enough, but there doesn't need to be enough focus on that overall number because that's where we get our benefits. That's where we get our salary from, is that overall number. So if that overall number was 49 or 50, I don't care how the money's split up. That's more money for everybody. And so that's why I think that we don't quite look at it in the way that I would like to see us do it. Again, I think that our guys have a tough job, and I commend the job the PA reps have tried to do.
Yeah. And just for everyone's clarity, what Jeff's talking about is if the NFL brings in billions of dollars through TV deals, through, you know, merchandise sales, all the licensing agreement, everything that the NFL puts its shield on or its team's logos on, they're making some money on that. And then that money gets chopped basically into roundly two pieces, one piece for the owners to split and one piece for the players to split. And right now the players, what Jeff is saying is, should be fighting for that half to be a little bit bigger, then worry about yes. how it's allocated, not to worry and spend all their time tweeting about each individual line item on the budget and not getting more of the overall percentage.
Yes, that's a good way to put it. Because that's what I think we should be fighting for at all times.
All right, well, now let's get back to some players. And I'm from the Northeast. I grew up in New York area. So I grew up with a radio station called The Fan. It's kind of world famous for one thing, which is trades, dude. That's what you talk about. You just call in, first time, long time, and then you throw a trade out there. Back in the day, you know, every offseason, the Yankees should have traded for Barry Bonds and Ken Griffey Jr. There was a way to make it work. I think Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld immortalized this with George Costanza. But I want to bring it to football. I think that football is missing an opportunity to do more with trades, or at least speculate more with trades. I'm going to lead the charge. Our boy, Shiel Kapadia, who writes at The Athletic, does a really good job. He does a great job covering the league. He put together like this dream piece. All 32 teams, one player that they might be considering trading, and then a little bit of analysis with his friends around The Athletic, people who know what's going on at each team. I'm not going to read every single one of them. I encourage other people to go check it out, see who he thinks your team might be shopping. I'm just going to throw the ones that caught my eye at you. All right. Odell Beckham Jr. People think it's got to be a first rounder for Odell. I'll throw where I think he could go. What about Baltimore? What about OBJ to Baltimore for a first rounder?
They need a bigger wide receiver.
Bigger? Why bigger?
Like an
Anquan Boldin kind of guy.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think a speedy dude who can do all these amazingly athletic things is nice, but
it doesn't fit in that offense, I don't think.
Even though all we hear about is their speed all the time, you're saying at the receiver position, they need just a big target who can go over the middle.
Yes. Okay. My opinion.
So not OBJ, but let's put a pin in that. We might want to come back to somebody else.
I think Odell could be traded. I just don't know if that's the right place for
him. If you care to follow me on this journey, do you have a place where you'd think it's more likely he ends up?
I personally, as a Tom Brady stan, would love if he went to New England.
Oh, my God. So in this scenario, Brady stays. Yes. He doesn't go the OJ route and head out to San Francisco. He stays in New England, and then he gets OBJ added to the team?
Yeah, or Stephon Diggs.
Oh, God. Okay. So would that mean if that happened, would we then not have to hear about all the complaints about his lack of weapons? Could we just have one season in his whole damn life where we didn't hear that?
Yeah, but I also think, in practically speaking, I mean, I think the Niners would be open to going and getting Odell. You know, I mean, maybe even the Packers maybe swing the fences for Odell and try to get him in with Aaron Rodgers. Some of the teams that could just right now, you know, the thing about trades, and OJ so eloquently talked about this and with the free agency and Tom Brady is, you know, if you're trading for Odell, you're kind of doing it to win now, right? Like, you're not doing it for the future. And so you look at teams around the NFL that could just use that one extra piece. You know, the Packers have, a pass rush. They have a secondary. They got to get faster at linebacker. They have a quarterback. They have an offensive line. They have a running back. They have one wide receiver. They need another one. And so you look at teams like that, that are kind of one or two pieces away from making a deep run to Super Bowl. That comes to mind.
I think also to add to that, the issue with Odell, maybe it's not even fair to identify this as an issue, but it appears to be that he doesn't really care what too many other people think. It doesn't seem like coaches or quarterbacks really have a lot of influence over him. But if he went to Green Bay and was playing for Aaron Rodgers, I guess the belief would be that Aaron Rodgers could kind of reel him in. That whatever his, you know, distracting qualities are, they would lessen if he was playing with a guy like Aaron Rodgers. Is that the belief?
Yeah, I think when he's happy, he's a good sport.
All right. That's
as most wide receivers are.
You mentioned Diggs. Our buddy producer Matt is hoping that he'll get traded to DC. What do we think about Stephon Diggs?
A straight up Trent Williams for Stephon Diggs trade. I think this gets done. I think he leaves. I don't know if it goes to the Redskins. But again, the Patriots, the Packers, the Niners, you know, teams that maybe
Seattle.
So the
rich get richer kind of situation.
Maybe Seattle. I mean, teams that need wide receivers badly, I think, are going to take a look at Stephon Diggs or Odell.
Okay. So those are the top two receivers out there who could get traded for. Just the way the contracts work out, they both look like trade targets, not people you wait around for in free agency. You mentioned Trent Williams. I have seen him linked to my Jets. I think your boy Florio reported that. Maybe that makes you think the opposite. I don't know.
Yeah, you know him with all his great sourcing.
Uh-huh. So Trent Williams to the Jets. Listen, the Jets obviously need a lot of things, but they've been good when they've had lines in my lifetime. They've been terrible when they haven't.
Isn't that every team?
Yeah, probably. I mean, listen, you're the one who's supposed to make it smarter on this show, not me. Trent Williams to the Jets. Make any sense? Could they pull that off?
Yeah, I'm not sure a Jets fan will ever make us smarter on football, right? So that makes sense. I mean, they could. I think that you know, I think the Jets, the Browns, Trent can still play. You know, I would look, you know, honestly, I know it's not a trade piece, but veteran guy like Jason Peters, who's leaving the Eagles, can still play. I know he's 38 years old, but he is an outstanding leader. And I think with Trent Williams, you worry about his knee. His knee is old, and there's concerns about the health of that knee. I think Peters might be a better option, not via trade, obviously. But if you're going to go the trade route, Trent Williams would be a home run.
You know, in the middle of that, just while you were talking about Trent Williams' knee, something happened with your voice. You sounded exactly like Chris Berman.
Really?
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if you got like a little something stuck in your throat and it took you down a register or two, but you just went, Trent Williams' knee. And it just sounded so good. Man, I don't even know what you said. I just heard that and I was like, hey, we're talking football now.
Fantastic.
Yeah. A couple more quick ones, then we're going to end on a big one. Andy Dalton, I assume because you're convinced Tom Brady's staying that Andy Dalton to New England is just a stupid thing people are tweeting about. Is there any reason to believe the Red Rifle is going to end up anywhere other than on the bench in Cincy?
I think a team might take a look at him as far as a veteran guy. Here's the thing about Dalton. And this is important about most NFL players. And this is why they last in the league a long time. Is he's consistent, right? He might not be the best, but he's consistent. You know what you're getting from Andy Dalton each and every week. You know what type of player he is, what type of leader he is. I think someone will look who needs kind of a veteran. Maybe, you know, the Chargers miss out on Tom Brady and they know they have to draft Justin Herbert. They trade for Dalton for a year or two to let him, you know, mentor a guy like Herbert or a Jordan Love. That, to me, feels like the role that Dalton will have moving forward.
What about the Bears? I've seen reports of that.
I think the Bears are going to stick with Trubisky one more year.
Okay. Are we at a point when in Andy Dalton's career where he becomes like another McCown? Like he's just a good guy to have?
I mean, he's better than McCown, but I'm going to write about this for SB Nation this week, maybe even next week too. It might come out next week. Is that more than ever now, teams are just moving on from quarterbacks. Like it used to be, you know, when we grew up watching football, you just kind of had your quarterback and you just stuck with him because you were stubborn about it. You drafted him. He was your guy. You're going to win or lose with your guy. You invested all this capital in him. And now it feels like teams are like, you know what? We can't win with this dude. He's gone. Who cares? Let's bring someone else in. And I think that could be a reason why Dalton doesn't really have a starting job anymore. People know, you know, probably not good enough to ever win a Super Bowl. We're out. We'll go draft ourselves Jordan Love or Eason, and we'll find a young guy that might, you know, that has the potential to be really great versus a guy we know in Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I think you're right. All right, last one. I saved it because it's the most exciting. Christian McCaffrey. Could Christian McCaffrey get traded if they are in tear it down mode? The Matt Rule era has begun in Carolina. You're close to it. Could McCaffrey get moved for like a billion pieces? And first tackle that, and then I want to bring up something that's out there that you can find on the internet that's going to blow your mind. But go ahead.
Christian Tim Tebow's batting average in spring training?
No, come on. Don't do that.
Zuri giggling in the background. I think McCaffrey's the one untouchable in Carolina. I don't think he's going anywhere.
So even if they decide we're screwed, we need to rebuild this thing, they lock him in and then rebuild around
because
him?
Because he's cheap right now.
For now, but he has a holdout option in the future.
Just for now, you let him, you keep him and you use him and then eventually get rid of him.
Okay, I'm going to throw two other ideas at you then. One has been tweeted about a fellow named, who was it? Ian something at Bleacher.
Yeah.
Ian Kenyon says, basically short version, what about the Chiefs? What about Christian McCaffrey going to the Chiefs?
The Chiefs have never valued that position. I would think that that's a firm no. I mean, obviously fun to think about, but I no.
I mean, could any defense and could you put 13 guys on the field and stop them if they had McCaffrey?
No, but again, what are you giving up for that? Like, Andy Reid has never valued that position. I do not expect him to value it now.
Okay. He's made a lot out of that position, even if he hasn't valued the guys at that position. So you're saying he can make it out of whichever Williams is getting the rock next year. They'll just turn him into a 1,000-yard guy. All right. And then last one. This comes up a lot and always with Brady as the answer. But what about the LA Chargers? Why not bring Christian McCaffrey back west and build? I get that you rather build a team around a quarterback, but this guy's, you know, more exciting than almost any quarterback in the league. What about answer the fans with that?
In general, I'll tell you this, Gabe. You should never sign a running back to a second contract or draft a running back in the first round, and you should definitely not trade for a running back. So I would – no, none of this. Zero. Don't trade for him.
Okay. So the team that
got him – and they just paid Austin Eckler.
Austin Eckler?
And I know that you're going to go to SoFi Stadium to watch Austin Eckler.
I sure will. I'll go to SoFi Stadium – in my brand new LA Rams or is it Chargers hat? I'm not sure which.
Who knows what's happening with that logo?
Well, let's move the line and get right into it. So days until the Rams change their logo again. If you haven't seen on Twitter, the Rams put out a logo that looks like a perfect LA Chargers logo. It basically is the Chargers logo, but it's the Rams logo. It's the most confusing thing in LA.
It's supposed to be a Rams horn, but it looks like a wave.
Looks like a C.
Their logo was really good, I thought. Like the Rams horn?
Yeah.
Great. Great logo. This is bad. The neon hat they showed was their draft hat. Now, their other logo is obviously out there, too, as well. Yeah, guys, just start over. Start over again.
Listen.
How does this stuff pass, like, quality control?
I have no idea. I don't want to dump on whichever hardworking people figured out how to make a logo over there. They might even be friends of ours. We don't know. But the issue is not how good the design looks. The issue is stepping back from it and going, wait a second. We play in a town with two football teams, and this looks like the other team. That's the issue. I mean, like, the Mets and Yankees, I guess, to a non-discerning eye, kind of have similar-looking logos, but they're completely different colors. You wouldn't mix up the interlocking N and Y of those two logos. So, you know, it just seemed like a brain fart. We'll give them a pass, though. Let's see. If they go ahead and trade for Christian McCaffrey, all is forgotten. All right, here's another one. Weeks until Baker Mayfield statue in Oklahoma gets vandalized on campus. I'm going to give you 15.5 over-under.
Oh, it'll be vandalized before then. I don't understand. I really don't get this. I get that they give statues to Heisman winners.
Yeah.
But, like, why so soon for Baker Mayfield?
Because he's like, awesome, and he's a recruiting tool. Why are you so resistant to this? I texted this to our little group thread, and everyone's making jokes about Baker. Oh, maybe he's the third best quarterback of the last three they've had. Maybe they should give all three guys a thing. Yeah, fine. Go ahead. Go ahead and give the number one pick in the draft in Kyler Murray his statue, too. I'm all for it.
Are you a participation trophy guy?
Well, I mean, if you look at me, you'd think I would be, but
this feels very participation trophy.
I'm not a participation trophy guy. I'm a pragmatist, and I think that Baker Mayfield is the best recruiting tool at Oklahoma since, I don't know, go back to whenever the last superstar player was at Oklahoma, Adrian Peterson probably. Like, who else are you going to tell every young guy about?
Why does Adrian Peterson have a statue?
Get him a statue. I would have assumed there already were 5 Adrian Peterson statues around campus. If there aren't, build that first. Then build a Baker Mayfield statue.
There's 3 Jeff Swartz statues in Oregon, so I understand why. That, I mean, for recruiting.
Just you running with your hair flowing behind you.
Yes. I have one of me carrying the football against USC.
Yeah.
Third leading rusher in 2007, by the way, as I beat your Trojans. There's another one of me with my hair flowing at the combine. And there's another one of me just in my stance.
That's very nice. Are you being serious here? These are things that exist. I can go see them. I can take a picture next to a statue of Jeff Schwartz.
What do you think, Gabe?
I'm thinking no, but...
No, of course not.
Well, I don't know. Uncle Phil has endless money up there.
There's barely even a mention of me in the whole facility.
For all I know, you know, Phil Knight buys every player who ever went there three statues, and they just sprinkled around. I don't know.
Okay. Speaking about Phil Knight, I'm going to share this one story. We got time for this. I talked about my run. If you guys go to my Twitter or go to my Instagram, you'll see that. And go to YouTube, actually, you can find this. Against USC in 2007, Dennis Dixon went the wrong way on a play. And he pitched me the ball instead of the running back. He thought I was the running back. Mm. I got 3 yards. I got tackled. So I was the third leading rusher. If you go to the box score, 2007, Oregon, USC, you go to the box score, Jeff Schwartz, G. Schwartz, 1 carry, 3 yards rushing. So we beat USC for the first time in forever. It's finally our conference, right? And I'm coming up the tunnel after the game to go to the locker room to celebrate. Someone like jumps on my back and says to me, "You're the third leading rusher today." And I turn around, it was Phil Knight.
Hey.
Hey-o.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Did you get a pair of Jordans or anything out of that?
We didn't have cool shoes like that. We didn't have Jordans. We had like Huaraches and some Air Force Ones, I think.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, Phil's paying attention.
That's nice. That's was there any other game where you showed up in a box score with rushing yards? I mean, fifth leading rusher or something like that?
No. In the NFL, I had a kick return for 16 yards once.
Yeah, I know you're obsessed with that. That's always the happiest I ever see you is when a lineman gets involved in special teams and starts running with the ball. That's peak Jeff Schwartz.
I get pretty fired up when I see a pancake, though.
No, fair. Anything pancake related. Usually, like, I see you on, like, Rex Chapman Twitter. Anytime he shows a video of somebody getting smushed, you're usually not far behind retweeting it with some sort of pancake joke.
How about Rex making a living doing that? It's fantastic.
If he's making a living. We don't know that for a fact. All right, let's let's keep moving the line. Number of tweets Tom Brady sends Antonio Brown in the next 3 months. Over under 0.5. He just had one. All it was a heart emoji on top of AB seemingly trying to kiss ass and get his way back into New England when he tweeted, "Anger and ego kicked my ass for about 6 months. I forgot about hard work and grace has success. Took a shot yet." I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about. He was kissing ass to New England. Tom Brady loved it. Will we see it again?
Oh, yeah. It seems to be a coordinated effort with Tom and AB to get back together in New England.
What is that about? Why not just go get OBJ?
I have no idea. Actually, I don't know why this is a thing. Like, they were together like 1 week. I don't understand. He did live in their house. Maybe they're buddies now. This would be, feel like, the oddest pairing of individuals in NFL history.
Okay, I have for over a year now been very cautious about how I speak about Antonio Brown, because before anyone even raised any issues, I was saying, guys, he's unwell. I don't know what it is. I don't know if this is mental health. I don't know if this is drugs. Something's off with this guy. It's not funny. That's been my stance for the whole time. Nothing has changed. It's gotten worse. Whatever was going on with him is still going on. Why would Tom Brady want that? I mean, not to be unfair to AB. I don't mean to talk about him. He's a human. But, like, why would Tom Brady want to take responsibility for that at this stage in his career?
I mean, he's very talented and he feels he needs some help.
I don't know, dude. You could talk the front office. You just mentioned Stephon Diggs and Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah, but those guys are not as cheap and take a draft pick.
I don't think Tom Brady cares about New England.
Now, Antonio Brown obviously is not even reinstated, I think. I mean, he's still...
And he's away. He's been away from football for a year. Last time we saw him, he couldn't walk. He burnt his own feet off.
That's wild, man.
Yeah, so, dude... Let's lay off the Antonio Brown talk until we're positive this guy's
well.
You
brought it up on this podcast.
I'm just
me.
Saying, let's be sure he's well before we talk about him as a football player. And I don't think we're going to know that for a while. All right. Months until Tua's game ready. 1.5 months over under.
Months until, like, regular season months, or months until, like, now?
Now. From now? I don't know. When do you want to start the... How soon before this guy can play football?
I think still a while. I think that a team that drafts him will go very slow. I think there's a good chance he ends up on PUP to start the year. Physically unable to perform. He does not count against the roster. Still gets paid. It feels like that's probably the route a team will go just to make sure he's completely healthy.
Okay.
Remember, he's also had two ankle surgeries. I mean, he's had a lot of work done.
Yeah. Oh, he's been beat up, man. That's why Nick Saban does not do his players any favors. When he needs to beat you up, he will beat you up. That's too bad. You're there for him. You're not there for your future. I mean, people don't seem to realize that, but Tua is going to come out damaged goods. I hope he's healthy by the time he gets to the draft. I hope he finds his way to a good team. He could be a really fun player in the NFL. But man, yeah, he's got some miles on those tires. All right. Last one. Zuri threw this in here. I'm going to read this on the fly, not knowing what I'm about to read. LA-based NFL teams Gabe roots for this season, 1.5. And this is pegged to the fact that one of the more recent Curb Your Enthusiasms basically summed up my entire life. I am a Jets fan, as has come up many times. So is Larry David. One of his friends in the show is so upset as a Jets fan that he actually kills himself because he's so desperate and sad from watching the Jets his whole life. And I have to say, it was relatable content. I knew, obviously joking about a joking show, but I knew this man's pain. Being a Jets fan is awful, and I've thought about bailing many, many times. So will this be the year that I officially pick a different team?
We'd actually say what this is. It's almost more fun to talk about what Larry David actually said. He said his partner left a suicide note that says, "I can't take this anymore." David immediately interprets that to be referencing the Jets. The Jets killed Carl, he realizes, and a little bit of the Knicks.
The Jets killed Carl is the most apt comment you will hear. Listen, the Jets, man, could they ever turn it around, Jeff? Seriously. Larry said it. It's not since 1969. I mean,
if Sam Darnold turns out to be great, yes.
What do you mean if he? He's not. He's not great. We know he's
quarterback.
He's fine, but he's not great.
Then you're probably not going to win.
I wonder why it is that Jets fans, we are more prone to getting worked up about it. It seems other towns.
Because you want to win.
Yeah, but other cities want to win, and they just get over it.
It's because the Giants are there.
That's probably it. We see success. We're so near it.
And
we know what it looks like.
And also, your owner seems to love like the tabloids and just always drama with your team.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Giants they've had a lot more lately, but they generally have been a lot more conservative as far as how the media is used to cover them.
Yeah, they're more traditional. You know, you're onto something here. It's the nearness to success. We see exactly what the model for success is. We just never quite seem to get it right. And what makes it worse is so many of us are also Mets fans, which have the exact same problem, but probably times 100 in the Mets-Yankees sort of dynamic.
Speaking about the Mets, I looked up our guy, Timothy.
Oh, don't do this.
154 in spring training, 2-for-13. So things are going well.
What about, I know the first shot was a dinger.
Six strikeouts.
What was that second hit?
Single.
Base knock.
So, for reference, I'm looking at Pete Alonso.
Yeah.
Only 243. Not ideal. No home runs.
Okay.
Bust.
Tebow more pop than Pete Alonso. Heard it here first.
The guy Jay McNeil's doing well. Who's Jay McNeil?
I don't know, but he's not a Heisman winner from Florida.
Jeff McNeil. Nice. All right.
Jeff.
His nickname is Flying Squirrel. You gotta start rooting for him.
What just happened? How did we get to some guy named Jeff McNeil, the Flying Squirrel, from Larry David?
He's your new favorite Mets player, though. We just determined that on the podcast.
I'll decide who my favorite Mets
player
is.
But back to the question that was asked, LA-based teams that you root for this season, over under 1 point, do you root for an LA team besides, well, you root for USC's, that's one.
I ram it every now and then.
So over.
Yeah, I'm not.
Are you going to go to the new stadium this year?
I would love to, yeah. I need a hookup. I need you and Uncle Phil to come down and I'll meet you over at the stadium. We'll get a little Texas barbecue. I'm sure they'll have a barbecue option at the stadium. It'll be great.
Oh, the traffic getting to Inglewood is going to be.
Oh, come on, I'll give you a ride. Don't worry about it.
Ugh. In the Mini Cooper? Are we going to rent it back again?
Come on, buddy. Got rid of the Mini Cooper long ago. Got a third row. Babies. Got a third row car now. Too many babies for a Mini Cooper.
Too many babies. Outstanding. Yeah. All right, guys, appreciate you tuning in. Real quickly, I want to give an appreciation to Marshall Yanda, former Baltimore Raven now, who's retiring. 8-time Pro Bowler, won the Super Bowl, only 3 guards in NFL history to make the Pro Bowl at least 8 times, and win a Super Bowl. Larry Allen and Alan Faneca should hopefully be in the Hall of Fame soon. Marshall Yanda is the epitome of an offensive lineman. He's from Iowa. He's just a physical SOB. He's a tough guy. Just got after people. There's a clip, Robert Mays, and I'll retweet it so you guys can see it, put out, where he blocks three guys in one play. I love watching him play. I'm going to miss watching him play now, but congratulations on your retirement. I think it's worth shouting you out, considering that I'm an offensive lineman, and I love watching guys like Marshall Yanda play. I want to give him his due. With that, we'll catch up with you guys next week. Gabe, can I announce? Am I allowed to announce what's happening on Thursdays or not yet?
I think it's better to just keep teasing this.
Okay, we'll keep teasing it, because I actually have not, we haven't signed anything yet.
I think paper needs to have dry ink on it.
Trust me, we're working on everybody, but Thursday, I promise you, it's going to be fantastic. So we'll be back next Tuesday, and hopefully next week, fingers crossed, we'll have our Thursday episode up and running. I think you guys will really, really enjoy a little bit of a change that we're doing. And Thursday will also, I assume, be free too, so we'll be able to have more access to a lot of you guys. Thank you guys for tuning in. Rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. Obviously, if you're listening to us on the Athletic Pod, we appreciate that membership as well. Have a great week, everyone. Talk to you guys next Tuesday.